This is Talking Heads. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. This hour on the programme, we're continuing our coverage brought to you by PDMS in the run-up to September's general election. And we're joined in the studio by John Orme, who's challenging for one of the three seats available in Rushen. Good afternoon, John, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Thank you.
Now, you're a non-sitting member, but you have been an MHK, haven't you, for the constituency?
I was MHK for Rushen between 1986 and 1991.
And so there's been a big gap in between, I assume. Did you stand in 91?
I did.
But didn't get in, so there's been a big gap. Did you go away and lick your wounds?
Well, I licked my wounds a little bit. I had been the political champion of the IRIS project, and I was warned before I took on the responsibility that there were no votes in sewage and drainage, and they were right.
That proved to be the case.
But I took a positive line. I'd been engaged by the Attorney General to take some legal bills through the House of Keys, and I found that quite interesting, and thus I decided to become a barrister after ceasing to be an MHK, and that's what I've done for the last 15 years or so, and I've practiced pretty generally. I've been in the criminal courts and the commercial courts. I've prosecuted and defended for the Crown and defended individuals. I've appeared in the Court of Appeal. I've appeared in the High Court. I've had a wonderful time.
Yes. And but now the itch to get back involved in politics has surfaced. Why?
Well, I think there is presented to the Isle of Man a really big challenge, and then I think a pretty wonderful opportunity. And the big challenge, in my view, is to cut government expenditure, because we have little choice, or rather, we have a choice, but the alternatives are worse. In other words, raising taxes or spending the reserves are worse alternatives, in my view. But we have an opportunity beyond that, in my view, to look again at the Common Purse Agreement and consider whether we take control of our own affairs.
And do you think that that's a likelihood? Do you think there's a strong possibility that we could do that without costing millions and millions?
Well, the last time this was looked at in any detail was by PA Consulting in 1976, and they provided a pretty comprehensive report. The world has changed a great deal. In those days, the island was mostly concerned with its tourist industry. But the interesting feature of their report is that their recommendation was to end the Common Purse Agreement. My view is that the behaviour of the United Kingdom and the pretty clear statement of its intentions in the future should provide some impetus, if it was needed, to look very carefully and say, right, is this agreement in our interests? If not, then should we consider taking control of our indirect taxes to our own parliament? And if so, how would we do it?
But PA Consulting would have been wrong in 1976 in saying that we should have gone it alone, surely, because, you know, since that time, we've had some pretty good years, haven't we?
Yes, but I don't think they're due to VAT. I mean, I would regard VAT, as its present manifestation exists, as a suppressant on economic activity. I mean, a 20% rate of VAT can hardly be an encouragement. Mm. An interesting feature of the PA Consulting report that I've just looked at, strange enough, is that in 1976, their estimation was that a sales tax of 4.5% in the Isle of Man would have been sufficient to duplicate the then income from VAT. 4.5%.
But could we do that, for example, if we were to abrogate? Could we set the VAT level here at, say, 10% to create a competitive jurisdiction? Would we be allowed to get away with that with the rest of Europe?
Well, I mean, the starting point that I understand to be the stance of the United Kingdom is that their assertion is that we should receive, under the Common Purse, no more VAT than we would collect if we were independent.
Yes.
So we can hardly be worse off by collecting it ourselves, since the expenses, we already share the expenses. So we can't be worse off. The opportunity, so far as I see it, is that we would be able to set whatever form of indirect taxes we chose to suit our own circumstances, and also to take opportunities that we saw due to the behaviour of others elsewhere.
It strikes me, though, that when I talk to people, that the idea of independence is a fantastically romantic one for the Isle of Man. It would be lovely for us to be independent, but we have to operate within the global economy, and there are all sorts of external factors that would limit us, surely.
I agree. I'm not talking about full independence, rejecting the governor and changing our status completely. What I'm talking about is the next step, which surely financial independence must be the foundation of any real independence in the future.
Yes.
I'm just talking about grasping control of a situation and changing the arrangement whereby the United Kingdom government, in effect, controls a large part of the Isle of Man government's revenue.
Yes.
Well, that can't be sustainable for the Isle of Man. For a start, a government needs to have predictable, to a degree, revenues in order to provide reliably the goods and services that it provides to the public. So how can it do it with ups and downs at the UK's whim?
Well, I think Alan Bell say, it might not have been him, said that, for so many years we've been allowed the crumbs from the table of the UK and now they want to keep the crumbs too.
I think that's what's being played for as well. I think they will be quite happy, the United Kingdom will be quite content to see us falter in some way, for instance, start putting up taxes, which might scare away sufficient of the finance sector, which would be disastrous for this economy, and the UK hope they may be the beneficiary of some of it.
Yeah. The finance sector has been very strong in the Isle of Man, probably less so now than it was 5 years ago at the last election. Do you think that the government's done enough to diversify the economy?
Well, I mean, the finance sector is a very attractive business. And one mustn't start from the point that it must be regarded as something which mustn't grow too big. I believe that the finance sector is probably one of the better businesses that we could have been involved in. So I don't start from that point. But obviously, diversity is a protection and should be encouraged whenever possible. But my view is this, is that if this government can get its act together in terms of dealing with its new revenue position, it will be able to offer in Europe and certainly in the United Kingdom a very favourable proposition. It is a government which does not constantly spend more money than it raises in revenue. It has no current account deficit. It does not have large borrowings and it has some reserves. Now, that puts it in the top echelon on any analysis of governments in the world. And to a young man who might be considering a business which he is providing the brains and somewhere else the production or the means of making it is being provided, he may well look at the Isle of Man and say, this is a very attractive proposition. It doesn't look as mad as many other governments, which don't have a solution to their problems. And in fact, it looks sane and, most importantly, secure.
Do you think that that might be our future, then, things like intellectual property?
I do, yes, because the world has changed to such a degree that the opportunity to be a holder of intellectual property in one place where, after all, Apple don't make any goods in Silicon Valley.
Yes.
They employ others elsewhere. And
Taiwan,
yet they're a tremendously successful company.
Yes, yeah. So that obviously would be good for the Isle of Man because we can't really expect, I don't think anyway, we can't expect people to come over and make widgets here, can we? There are too many things against that happening.
No.
But that's a part of the global economy. You, like you say, Apple don't make anything in Silicon Valley. It's all made in Taiwan and China, isn't
it?
Yes. So what else do you think we could do in the Isle of Man? Because we've got two things that we can do over the next 5 years. We can save money and we can make money. How else can we make money?
I don't think that it's realistic to expect an upturn in the Isle of Man economy to rescue government. I don't think that can be relied upon. I think the best we could hope for is that within the general slowdown, which seems to be becoming more and more established in the West, within the general slowdown, we could seize niche opportunities. But the basis of that must be our fiscal strength and our regulatory and taxation proposals that we put to someone who would consider establishing a business here.
Financial abrogation from the UK.
Yeah. Yes.
Financial independence. You say that if you're elected, you're only going to serve one term.
Yes, I'm 62 years old and I'll be 67 if I'm lucky enough to serve 5 years. And I think that's probably old enough and I think I'll probably want to do something else. Secondly, I think that one has to be prepared in this term to make unpopular decisions. After all, cutting government revenue without raising taxes and without spending the reserves is not going to be popular. It's £75 million of 500 odd millions, 15%. So there are going to be unpopular decisions to be made. And I don't want to be looking over my shoulder thinking, oh, I can't do that because X and Y. I want to be able to make decisions in the long-term interest of the Isle of Man, and then someone else can have the opportunity of building on whatever base has been created.
Because there are going to have to be unpopular decisions made, aren't there?
I don't see that we can avoid them.
And what about, I mean, most people are talking about the size of the public sector. Do you think that there's too much fat in the public sector?
I think that the...
Because, of course, you've seen it from the inside
yes,
as well.
We're all human and we're all fallible. And the Isle of Man has enjoyed a period of prosperity which is has been very, very rare in the European context, and even more rare in the context of the Isle of Man itself. It has enjoyed revenues which have climbed, increased from year to year. The temptation to become more easygoing about spending money and to be less concerned with value for money and less concerned with preventing waste is something that perhaps everyone would have been subject to, but it can't continue. The spenders have had their day, and there must be a new approach, which has got to, apart from everything else, deal with the culture that's built up in government, which is that there's plenty of money and we can afford to spend it, and that's got to stop.
Yes. And what particular skills do you think you'll take into government if you're successful?
Well, my view of what an MHK should have to offer is this, is that the world around the Isle of Man has changed so dramatically. Once we could sort of get on with our own thing and not too many people interfered with us. Now there are many, many organisations, groups and countries who purport to tell us what we should or should not be doing. Therefore, my view is this, is that an MHK who is going to be useful and be able to serve in the interests of the Isle of Man has to be able to go to, say, the UK Foreign Office, the UK Treasury, UK Health Department, even the EU, World Trade Organization. They have to be able to deal with these bodies. And we shouldn't expect them to go and win every time, but they should at least be able to hold their own.
Do you think that we're not well represented enough?
Well, I think there has been a tendency in the Isle of Man to vote for local popular heroes. And sound as they may be, and they may have much to contribute, but the future of the Isle of Man is not going to depend upon those factors. It's going to depend upon how we defend our corner in an international context.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
This is Talking Heads, and we're talking to John Orme, who's standing for one of the three seats in Rushen in the election on September the 29th. You've spent the last, 15 years as a barrister. Wouldn't the LegCo maybe have been a more obvious fit for you rather than to stand as an MHK?
Good Lord, no.
Why not?
What a disgraceful suggestion. I would not wish to be there without a public mandate. That's why I've been so very direct about what I am offering, what I propose.
Yes.
If people don't wish to support me, then I can do something else in my life. I don't want to be sitting there with the illusion that I'm serving the public when I haven't received a mandate.
OK, you say that raising taxes is too dangerous, but aren't the taxes that could and should be raised?
In a more normal economy, perhaps the answer would have been yes. But in this economy, in my view, the psychology of raising taxes would be completely wrong because the risks are too great. I am a protector of the finance sector. And in my view, if any of them started to take fright as a result of a government which was trying to protect its, on one view, overspending by raising taxes, in my view, that would be far too great a risk and I would not take it under any circumstances.
You've also said that you think it's the national issues that are important. I mean, that could militate against you at the election in that people are worried about potholes at the end of their road kind of thing, aren't they?
Yes, I've made it absolutely clear to everyone I've spoken to, I am not standing so that I can run the post office or the buses or the Office of Fair Trading. There are far more able and skilled officers than me available to do those jobs. And I want to be involved in the creation of policy. I want it to be adopted and effectively and efficiently enacted by the government at large.
Where do you think that government over the last 5 years could have done a lot better?
I think they were caught with the wrong ideas in a very rapidly changing world. After all, some of us might have said that there was going to be an end to a long period of prosperity sooner or later.
I'd been saying it for 15 years, and every time I said it, people say, oh, you know, you're wrong.
I'm afraid I would have to join that camp as well.
Yeah.
But when those changes occur, they're sudden, as we discovered in 2008, 2009, and furthermore, suddenly, pretty much everything you were doing beforehand that seemed right suddenly becomes wrong.
Yes.
And you have to change very rapidly. And I think the government of the Isle of Man was trying to deal with a lot of financial change. And then, unfortunately for us, the United Kingdom government changed. And we must face the fact that the United Kingdom is now governed by a coalition. And one part of that coalition, a coalition that consists of the Conservatives and the Lib Dems, the Lib Dems hold perhaps a disproportionate sway because they keep the Conservatives in power, and they have a somewhat unnatural dislike of tax havens, and we are lumped into their general dislikes. And therefore, the Conservative government can occasionally mistreat us and please their coalition partners.
People in the Isle of Man seem surprised at the poor handling that we've had at the hands of the UK government. I think that that's just common sense, isn't it? In that really, the Isle of Man matters not a jot to them, generally speaking, and they've got to get themselves re-elected. Why would they give us a penny more than we're entitled to?
Well, I mean, for example, the alterations of the mutual health agreement were so petty and so unjust,
yes,
that I'm barely able to believe that the United Kingdom government could have come up with it, really. And the fact they come up with it so unthinkingly, regard for, after all, there are many men retired on this island who've served in the United Kingdom Armed Forces over many, many years and provided a honourable and...
I talked to Dominic Delaney about it a few weeks ago, and he said that he was genuinely upset at the time about it as an ex-soldier.
I mean, it was a disgrace, but I think it shows more how poorly run the United Kingdom is at the moment, how they do not think about collateral damage to little odd places like us, and perhaps therefore how much we need to be keen to keep our corner defended and not, as we did in the health agreement, wasn't it a Scottish MP that finally managed to persuade the government to change their mind? What a disgrace.
Yeah, our interests, unfortunately, don't go in the same direction, though, because, you know, as far as the UK government is concerned, it's good news for them to put the Isle of Man under a cosh, because most people do see us as a dodgy tax haven somewhere probably off the south coast of England.
Precisely.
Is that a problem that we've got, our international perception? And if so, what can we do about it?
My feeling from having spent time practicing in London is that the main response to the Isle of Man is, where is it? What is it?
Yeah.
Does it exist even? You know, there's no real knowledge of it at all. But there is no doubt politically we have become someone that can be kicked with a positive result in the United Kingdom. And therefore, we have to face the fact that we're going to have to defend our corner a lot more robustly than we have done before.
And should that be elected politicians, or should we be employing spin doctors in London? How should we do that best?
Well, I must admit, in the matter of the health agreement, I would have been inclined to hire Max Clifford, and then I would have waited for the first ex-serviceman who served, say, in the Second World War to break his leg in England.
Yes.
Then I would have let Max Clifford loose on the Daily Mail and shamed them into realising what a disgraceful decision it was.
Well, Joanna Lumley did a good job for the Gurkhas. They were under a similar situation,
precisely,
weren't they?
Yeah. Yes, I think we can employ other methods than the direct one sometimes.
Yes.
There's, There's more than one way of skinning a cat.
That's quite interesting. All right, so we've talked about the present government a wee bit and the challenges that face the next government for the next 5 years. Tough, but you think that it's all fairly constructive and it could make the Isle of Man a stronger economy?
I think there is a real opportunity. I mean, it's easy to portray doom and gloom, cut, 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 and that has to be, in my opinion, the first stage. But if we are able to gather together the drive and the desire to grasp control of our own indirect taxes, then we have all sorts of opportunities. I mean, government could cut its expenditure, reduce sales taxes, if that's what we substitute for VAT, upon many areas of activity on the Isle of Man, and lower the cost of living on the Isle of Man, which would be rather attractive, I think.
Would you have a sales tax rather than just a reduced rate of VAT? Because wouldn't it cause problems with trading with Europe if we weren't part of the VAT thing?
I don't pretend to know all the answers.
I'm not an economist. No, but...
And nor am I. My view is the principal issue is this. Are we going to leave the United Kingdom government in control of a large chunk of the Isle of Man's government's revenue when the United Kingdom government's behaviour over the last period has been contrary to our interest, let's put it at the kindest, yes. And there's every indication it will continue to be so. How we do it, and even whether we do it, I think needs to be very carefully looked at. And the downsides need to be estimated and considered very carefully. Of course, there will be customs controls, there will be controls on imports and exports, there will be costs. But the opportunity is staring us in the face. And my view is that let's take it and have a very careful look.
What do you think about areas of government that maybe government shouldn't be involved in? Things like the Villa Marina, the cinema, the airport maybe. Do you think that those things ought to be hived off and privatised?
I think that there are some arguments. Certainly the scope of government in the Isle of Man is one that gives considerable concern to me, because I think it just stretches the resources that we have, both of the politicians and of the administration. I think we're stretched too thin, too wide. But there are several aspects of which I don't like. First, I quite like the quirky things about the Isle of Man, and I don't want to see them disappear. Secondly, I don't want selling off assets to be a cushion against maintaining government expenditure. And thirdly, I don't think we should have too many fairy tale illusions about being able to sell off massively loss-making organisations or endeavours to someone who's hoping to make a profit. I mean, I don't think, although I look at something like the MEA and say, good Lord, I mean, that must be an argument for getting the government out of these kind of organisations and making them responsible for their own future, I still believe that the government does have a role because of its longevity and its deep pockets. The government sometimes is a better provider on a long-term basis than a short-term profit-driven operation that comes and goes.
Because there are certain things that can't just be measured by the bottom line.
Precisely.
Yeah, and that's where government should be involved. Do you have concerns that a lot of the infrastructure of the Isle of Man is owned by foreign investors? Things like the steam packet, things like Manx Gas?
Well, the steam packet situation is a monument to the craze for financial engineering in the 2000s, which has led to it being on its knees. But I don't think that's an argument for government nationalising. I'm a believer that government should do those things in a society which are necessary and cannot be provided by private enterprise. And I know it's a very high-flying theoretical idea, but whilst there can be a private enterprise supplier of ferry services to the United Kingdom, and whilst our history shows us that competition is very, very difficult to organise and probably not sustainable, I think we are stuck with what we have.
What do you think the priorities of the next government need to be?
Cut government expenditure, revisit common purse agreement, make decision.
And do you think we can revisit things like the common purse agreement, or is this just a case of looking at whether or not we need to abrogate from it completely?
I think we should take a very wide look at it and consider all options. I think that there is a tremendous opportunity, as I've said already, and I think that if we can use the behaviour of the United Kingdom government as giving us impetus to grab a little more of our independence, it's a step towards a desirable objective.
We're almost out of time. John Orme, tell the people of Russian why they should vote for you on September the 29th.
Well, I'm a very careful man with money, and I'm even more careful with other people's money than my own. And I can go and defend the Isle of Man's interests on an international front.
That'll do. It's been lovely talking to you, fascinating talking to you. We'll probably carry on now off air talking about engines and things, because I see that you're a petrol head like I am. But John Orme, thank you very much indeed for coming in today.